Welcome to the French Tech Asia Pacific podcast, the show where we talk to French founders, local influencers, and policymakers here in the Asia Pacific region. I'm Bill Poorman, co-producer of the show. Our intrepid regular host, Nikolai Groneweg, is out gathering material for our second season coming up in September. So I'm stepping in to introduce Nikolai and our guest. This week, Thibaut Genette of Le Wagon, a worldwide tech bootcamp company based out of Paris. Thibaut is in their Shanghai operation. Le Wagon focuses on training adults and business executives in tech so that they can develop their own understanding and products. Nikolai and Thibaut explore how they've had to adapt Le Wagon's program to China and the unique tech ecosystem there. Let's get started with this week's episode.
I'm Thibaut. I'm a software developer and I'm the head of the community for Le Wagon in China. You can also say Le Wagon. We accept all pronunciations here. Le Wagon is a coding bootcamp that is teaching students to develop web applications from scratch. It's a cutting edge curriculum. Teachers all around the world that are giving students some skills, some tools to kickstart their career in tech, you know, and land a job as a software developer or as a product manager, and perhaps even launch their own startup. It's been super highly ranked around the world for the past years. This whole thing started in Paris 5 years ago, hence the French Tech thing. Voila.
All right. I've always really liked Le Wagon because I don't have a tech background. I later got into tech and learned how to code when I started doing AI. And I've always seen what you guys do as sort of allowing people that don't have a technical background taking the first steps towards realizing their, you know, their entrepreneurial ambitions. And like, in a way, I feel like it's almost like you're empowering people with digital literacy. Would you say that's a fair assessment, or do you see that differently?
Yeah, totally right. The word empowering that you used in this context, because yeah, that's right. That's what we want to do. Sometimes I say we want to give some freedom, and I think you will understand that because you've met some of these people, you told me yourself, in different regions of the world. They are seeking for some freedom to build new things, like yourself, right? You've been building products and startups. They are seeking some financial freedom, perhaps, some independence, you know, versus a corporate job, quite regular job. They want something different. They are also looking for nomadism, freedom, you know, able to work anywhere you want. And obviously, some technical freedom as well, you know, picking up new sort of skills, new sort of tools all the time, catching up with technology, and perhaps even automate some of your work. So that's it. Yeah, I think you're right. You call it digital literacy. This is just the first step in order to go much more deeper into this rabbit hole that is technology, you know what I mean? So sometimes I use this image of a hospital. I'm not a physician, I'm not a doctor. And for me, it's a bit scary. You know, when you go inside a hospital, you have some tools all around you. You have doctors that are using a lot of jargon. They're a bit scary because they tell you, you know, it's health, you know, they tell you like you're sick. And you just have to trust them because how can you possibly challenge them? So now, if I was teaching you some more practical ways of, you know, understanding your body and some of the lingo that they use, well, you might not become a doctor overnight, but at least you feel a bit more comfortable in a hospital. And perhaps you can even turn into a good nurse, caring about the patients. This is exactly what we want to achieve. Right? That applies to us. We instead of a hospital, we do technology. We don't know how to treat sickness, but we do know how to build great products, and we know it's extremely hard. So, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah, I think that's really a great way of putting it, because through what you do, even if someone doesn't become independent from a technical point of view, at least they're no longer completely blind to what's going on, right? So I think your analogy is really great, because I've often met people who started their first startup or wanted to work on their product and were completely like you say, they had to completely rely blindly on the people helping them out on the technical side. And at least if they finish your program, they will know a little bit about what's going on and, you know, whether or not people are telling them the right things. And they have more agency in their project. But it must be a really intense program, right? Because it lasts 9 weeks, is that correct?
That's right. It's extremely intense. It's a lot of hard work.
If I understand correctly, you started Le Wagon China as a franchise after having reached out to the team in France. Could you tell us a bit more about how you decided to launch and share some of your experiences growing the business in China?
I was already in Shanghai for the past 6 years now when I realized there were a lot of things to do on education, on training in particular for professionals. Back then, I was in the luxury industry. Specifically, I was working with a lot of brands inside the Richemont Group, you know, the watchmaker, as well as LVMH. And all of them, all of these brands, all the executives I was working with, they were buying a lot of software, a lot of digital, right? Websites and apps and e-commerce and CRM and whatnot. But you'd be surprised how few of them had any clue of the basics of how these things work. Well, part of my job was to do trainings, and already I saw what was necessary internally to give them some, you know, some technical understanding to take better decisions and et cetera, et cetera. So that was 4 years ago in China. Now, back then, I wanted to set up a training program for this business executive, right? And I had to make a choice. Should I make a whole curriculum, design the whole product and, you know, launch everything from scratch? Or should I partner with somebody already doing it? So at that time, I discovered this whole industry that was growing in the US and in Europe. And I found Le Wagon that way. There were others. I compared, obviously, and I looked into the product and I saw that Le Wagon was one of them that was possibly the most product-oriented, something that would make sense for business people, you know, as well as something we could adapt to the Chinese market. There was not a lot missing to get things done, to get started. So indeed, they trusted me. The guys based in Paris who launched Le Wagon, we had to, you know, test market first. We launched a lot of courses on the ground, tested teachers, built a community, you know, step by step, with more partners coming in. And after a year of, you know, a lot of iterations, we launched the first pilot. And this one went quite well. And since then, it's been more of a snowball effect. We, of course, had to, as I mentioned, customize the course for China. A lot of specificities on how would you deliver a product here, how would you host it, the legal aspects behind. There were a lot of challenges, but then, you know, 3 years later, we're here. We're still here and still learning, still trying to develop the community as much as we can.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the changes that you had to make for the Chinese market?
Yeah. Without going too much into the details of the program itself, you know, at the end of Le Wagon, you have 3 weeks. That's part of the curriculum. You have 3 weeks to deliver products. In order to wrap up everything we've taught you, all the courses you've been taking with us for the first weeks of the program, we put it together, and then you have to create a platform, something close to Airbnb. You have to create your source code for the backend, and you have as well to create all the pages of your app. We need to make sure you're capable of building these functionalities, and that's really core for us because that's how we know that you are able to build a real product from scratch. Now, this said, this happens week 7, and this creates a lot of challenges when you're in China. You cannot deliver the same sort of product. You know what I mean? A Airbnb web platform is not exactly what is relevant for the Chinese market. You have to make it mobile first. You have to host it in China if you want to have access to specific APIs that are necessary for payment or for search. If you host it in China, then you have some legal questions that you need to know in order to be, you know, capable later on after the training to keep building new things like this one. And just in general, Airbnb itself, it's a great product. It's working well in China. But think about Mobike, right? That's something that is much more, you know, part of the habits of the day-to-day for Chinese citizens. So essentially, even the goal itself of building a platform like Airbnb is not exactly something that was relevant here. So we made choices to customize the end goal as well as the technologies that we would use at that stage. And specifically, we made very early on the goal to focus on WeChat. I guess you're familiar with this almighty application that now employs like millions of developers and brands. And so we focused some of our courses on this so that the students are capable of building an app on WeChat. And that's something very unique. And as far as I know, very few international communities or even universities are capable of teaching in how to use this this platform outside of China. So that was key for us if we wanted to obviously be relevant to the Chinese market. And I think you understand that very quickly. We're very clearly there are two internets in this world, right? You have the rest of the world as one internet dominated by some American giants, and then you have one other internet, which is China. They share the same sort of technologies. So we teach you technologies, that's great. But as we mentioned already, Luwagon is not only about learning how to code. It's also about learning how to build a great product for users. So we had to take into consideration all of the product framework, this Canva that we have to design a business for Chinese consumers.
What did the competition look like when you first entered the Chinese market? And how has it developed over time?
Great question. There were already existing bootcamps in China, but they had a terrible reputation. And I think, you know, back then also there were some bad players in the US market. So the term itself, bootcamp, was pretty not famous at all in this area. However, there were a lot also of training centers, extremely popular, but very narrow on only some languages. You know, they will promise you a job, and they will teach you only one specific technology that is matching a very specific job as a programmer. Like, you would have to become a programmer. That's it. There were already coding schools as well, but for kids, quite a lot. And this has been developing very fast as well. And obviously, there were a lot of online courses. I mean, China is a matter of scale. We all know it's clearly volume, data, a lot of traffic. So there were a lot of platforms to learn how to code, very popular ones. So that was the market as it was back then. I guess we found our positioning in the middle of all of this. We're still a tiny potato, to be honest. We're still learning and growing. Imagine how fast this is growing now. Anything related to K-12, you know, like primary education, as well as anything that is English courses, you know, startups like VIP Kids and whatnot. Anything that is vocational education, of course, anything that relates to your career, all of this is booming right now in China. And there's a huge wave of investment, especially in this quarter one of 2019. So it's just the beginning of a huge acceleration for much more edtech startups to come in. So I think we've been there a little bit before the big wave that is coming in to transform education. Transform universities in particular, transform the way we teach to kids. But we might be on a different kind of trend and wave because, remember, we are not teaching kids. The Wagon is for adults, it's for professionals.
That's interesting. Because I'm thinking back to my own experience of learning how to program. And I clearly remember that I always found it something that was quite lonely to do on my own. And I really enjoyed learning it with other people. And working in small groups and working on problems together. That was one of the aspects about programming and learning how to program that I really enjoyed early on as a student. So I can totally see that people might actually enjoy the classroom component and might find it very conductive to learning and to learning all of these new concepts in only 9 weeks. I mean, you have to learn the basics of computer programming in 3 weeks, I guess, right? Or something like that, if you want to move on to building an actual product at the end. So if you don't have people to fall back on and to that you can team up with, it seems like it might be pretty hard.
That's right. It's extremely hard work. And yeah, people who are coming to us, they're extremely bright and they expect a challenge for the brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They are being challenged every single day when they come to us. They're exhausted. It's like a, how could I put it? It's like a marathon. You know, every day you have to run and to run and to run. You never stop. They cannot sprint. They have every day to take so much content, so much knowledge, and digest it and retain it. So it's exhausting for sure. Now it's possible. We've done it with thousands of people. So we trust the process. We trust the people that are involved, as well as, you know, the group effort to move forward, to carry on. And you know, if you're falling behind, we're here to pick you up. If you have tons of new ideas, you'll be challenged anyway, because teamwork is still very hard work sometimes, especially when you talk about software development. So that's something impressive to watch.
Just to bring it back to the cultural context of China. Now, so we just mentioned that the program requires a massive time investment. It's very difficult. But at the end, you don't deliver any official degree or certification or anything like that. Now, it's my understanding, even though I'm not an expert at all, that the Chinese consumer might be a little bit sensitive to such things, like getting a degree or getting a certification out of something. Is that something that you had to take into account when thinking about your marketing and positioning your program in the Chinese market, or...? Did that not really
100% right. No, it's a very good point. And we're still scratching our brain on this one, because, you know, there are, that would be a huge market if we were delivering a certification or a degree. Now, that's what universities do. And now, nowadays, universities are also big brands, right? You're Harvard, you're Yale.
Yeah.
You actually have a big name, and then you can put any kind of paper to say, yeah, that guy came to my university for, what, 2 weeks summer program, and he's a Yale graduate, right? Yeah, okay, that might be impressive for the press and for the VCs, but it's not going to help you build anything anyway. You still have to get through a lot of mafan, a lot of difficulties to get things done. So I think our target audience, by default, comes with a high number of diplomas from some of the top colleges already. Like, really, if I look into it, if I look at the demographics of people at the Wagon, they have already completed very advanced studies. So they're not looking for, they're not collecting certificates. They're not looking for one more. They understand that programming is tough. It's more of a craft that they want to understand. They want to build something. And the best certificate they have at the end is actually the proof that they can build things, because they have to, during the camp, they have to build products, at least two. I told you, during the last 3 weeks of the program, something close to Airbnb. In China, it's also close to Mobike, the bike sharing platform, plus one more product. They have 2 weeks to deliver it. If they can achieve these last 3 weeks and they can demonstrate it to the audience at the end, the goal is achieved. It's much better than a certificate. It's what we call a portfolio. You know what I mean? Like, you are able to showcase the work that you have produced. And this is what really matters in the software industry at the end of the day.
Before we wrap this up, could you tell us a little bit about what's next for Le Wagon, the Chinese market?
Okay. We have built a huge amount of partners, recruiting partners, you know, companies that are hiring programmers. Some of them end up being extremely large MNCs, and they have massive challenges to train their coworkers, to keep their coworkers, to transform their business into digital. Of course, they are being challenged on the Chinese market by the e-commerce of Alibaba, or, you know, by the next unicorn. And so they need strong help from our side right now to deliver courses to help their people to switch to a whole new way of working, a whole new way of thinking product. So that's something that is coming back very, very fast into our pipeline right now. And it doesn't mean a pivot, because we're already doing it in Europe. It's just that we didn't do it in China yet. That's number one. Now, beyond working with corporates, we are going to go even deeper into localization. Localization doesn't mean just translating into Chinese. It means, you know, having courses that are even more accurate to what's happening in China right now. So I already shared with you this example of how we used Mobike in China instead of Airbnb for the main bootcamp. Now, both for B2C and for B2B in Le Wagon, we're going to think about creating courses that will help our members to tackle this social commerce. You know, social commerce is that mix of having a newsfeed in the app where you'll find super, super strong offers, very big discounts, group buying, right? You'll be able to, together with your friends, decide that if you go for that offer, the price will go down. It's extremely shareable, and obviously it's on mobile. So the way you discover a new product is through a social experience, through a newsfeed. It's not through a, you know, a shopping list that you would have on Taobao. It's not through a search. It's through follows that users have shared themselves onto this newsfeed. So there are two big players right now in China. You are much more than that, but these two are important to know. Pinduoduo. Pinduoduo, I think, was started around 2015. E-commerce platform for users to do group buying deals. They are backed by Tencent WeChat, and they have been IPO'd last year already. They have something like 300 million buyers on the platform. And then the other one to know is Xiao Hongshu, Little Red Book, literally translated. I think it's called Red in English, just Red. It's also a sharing platform, sharing to your community things you bought. So you could see it as a mix of Instagram and Pinterest together. You know, it's a combination of sharing photos and being able to click through links in order to buy something. And this one is now integrated inside Taobao, so the e-commerce giant. So two e-commerce darlings that share similar functionalities and obviously are going to change entirely the way we consume through a mobile app in China. And so we are going to try explaining these functionalities, these features, and make sure that our students are capable of building these functionalities, you know, for their own startup tomorrow, as well as for their own business if they belong to a corporate. We believe that it might be one of the ways to grow a new service or a new business tomorrow. It's not e-commerce anymore, it's social commerce.
And as you described that to me, like hearing all these big Chinese names, and here you're talking about this Chinese ecosystem that some technical people, even here in Singapore, especially in Europe, might not even know. That in and of itself might be worth exploring for some people. It's definitely a whole different universe out there. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Thibaut. I think we're going to have to wrap this up. Where can people find more information about your program online?
Being a digital native myself, I'm pretty much on any kind of social media you can think about. So if you have my name, it should be fairly easy to find me on LinkedIn. If you want to talk to me about anything you're doing in Asia, on technology, especially if that relates to Chinese technologies, I'm always keen to have a chat and get to know new businesses going around. Super, super open to chit chat. And I'm myself coming to Singapore and Hong Kong quite often. Easy to catch as well. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share today, and thank you for these questions.
All right. Thank you, Thibaut.
That's our host, Nikolai Groneweg, interviewing Thibaut Jeannette of Le Wagon. I'm Bill Poorman, co-producer of the French Tech Asia Pacific podcast, sitting in this week for Nikolai. Thank you all for listening. Please take a moment to subscribe and share liberally if you like what you heard. To get in touch with us, please reach out through LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you. Take care.